It might seem like Paul has snapped in our reading, as if he's become greatly annoyed, and so he lashes out in anger. And especially because it seems like maybe what the girl was saying in our reading was in fact a good thing. Why not let her keep saying that these men proclaim the way of salvation, so that maybe more people would come to listen to Paul and to be saved? But the problem, Christians, was what she said wasn't a good thing. In fact, it wasn't even a neutral thing. It was detrimental to the gospel. And that is why Paul acted the way that he did. To understand why that's the case, let's take a closer look at the girl herself. Luke tells us in verse 16, "As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling." Now, the more technical word that Luke uses here is she had a pythonic spirit. And I know that sounds an awful lot like a snake, but that's because a pythonic spirit was believed to be in the form of a snake, that the god Apollo would take possession of somebody, usually a young woman, but he would take possession of her in such a way that he would have total control. It's almost like she shut off entirely and the demon within her spoke in her place, the way that you sometimes see in horror movies. Now, the purpose of someone with a pythonic spirit like this was that they would ask them questions, especially about the future. Somebody would come, ask their question, and the demon would answer them, usually in the form of a riddle. And then the priests around her would interpret what the demon had said, make it understandable in exchange for money. So in other words, they would come to her, they would pay the priests who were taking care of her, ask a question, and then be on their merry way. So when we think of it in this way, Christians, this young girl is not saying something positive, as if she was advertising the gospel for free. And she was not saying something neutral, as if, yeah, it's a problem, but maybe it's more good than bad. What she was saying was a serious problem, because a demon would never willingly and genuinely present the gospel. A demon would never want somebody to come to know God and to be saved. So in other words, there's a deception at work here. And that's why Paul finally rebukes the demon, tells it to be quiet and to get out. He's no longer willing to tolerate this threat to his preaching, and he refuses to let it lead anyone astray. Because it's not only what it says, Christians, that is the problem. It's also what it doesn't say. This demon is dressing up its poison with the words of the gospel. It is hiding behind what sounds like the truth. Because ask yourself this, what does it mean by the Most High God? Does it mean the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Or does it mean something else? Something that would even be acceptable to a pagan, like calling Zeus the Most High God, or something like that. What does the demon mean? Or what does it mean by the way of salvation? Does it mean repenting and believing in Jesus Christ alone, so that that way you can be saved? Or is it talking about finding some kind of a secret path to what is good above? Does the demon mean that Jesus is the only way? Although notice it never actually says the name of Jesus. Or is Jesus just one way among many? What is it exactly that the demon means? And it is this uncertainty that makes it so incredibly dangerous. And that's why Paul refuses to let it go on. And it's why we should also be on guard. Because sometimes, Christians, this kind of deception is obvious. Like if someone were to come and say that there are many ways to God, yeah, it sounds nice on the surface, maybe even sounds kind of loving. But it ultimately denies that Jesus is the only mediator between God and men. And it also ends up turning salvation into something that we do rather than what God has done for us. So we have to be on guard against it. Or if someone would say that good people automatically go to heaven. Yeah, that sounds great, doesn't it? Might even sound pretty comforting at a funeral. But it denies the need of faith. And it rejects that one has to repent and to turn towards God in Jesus Christ. So yes, this kind of deception is sometimes obvious. But sometimes it's less obvious. Sometimes we hear things that sound true, even to the point that it seems like it's saying what the Bible is saying, even as it twists the Bible into something else. Let me use a real good example so you understand what I mean here. Take the example of what is called the prosperity gospel. And I'm sure that you've encountered this if you haven't ever heard the name. It's this idea that God wants to bless you, that God wants to give you the things that you ask for, and all you need to do is pray to ask, whatever it may be. Send some money into this preacher, and God will give you far more back in the future. TV preachers almost always fall into this kind of teaching, and they often try to prove it by pointing to the Bible. See, they'll say, it says right here, God wants to bless you. It says that God made Abraham rich. So name it and claim it, and it will be yours. And if you want more proof, just look at me, they will say. God has given me this fancy watch. God has given me this expensive car. God has given me this private jet, and so forth. All you need to do is what I tell you, and things like these will be yours. And this idea, of course, is very popular. There are many who listen to what they have to say. But it is poison. God never promised to make you rich here on earth. It is a lie disguised as the truth. And deceptions like this will finally lead people astray. But the reason why these kinds of deceptions are so attractive to Christians is because they change the gospel into something else. They change the gospel into something that appeals to our sinful nature, something that makes us feel special, makes us feel different, or it makes us feel more loving or more caring than other people. Or it even tells us that we don't have to change anything about ourselves. We are fine just the way we are, and we can have what we want and exactly the way that we want it. But that's the exact opposite of the gospel of Christ. The gospel says we must die to ourselves. But this deception says that sin can live. The gospel says that we must become like Christ. But this deception says that we never have to change. The gospel says that we must learn the truth. And this deception says that we already know it. Mixing truth and error in this way, Christians, only leads to more error, and a far more dangerous error at that. Because instead of proclaiming the truth, Satan is using the gospel as a mask in order to lead us away from God and away from the one way that will truly save us from our sins. So, of course, we have to ask ourselves then, well, how do we avoid it? How do we recognize these kinds of false gospels? Well, first of all, by asking whether what we hear is actually what the Bible says. Is this contradicted by something that we read in the Bible? And if it is, well, then it's not the truth, no matter how nice it might sound. We can also avoid this by asking ourselves, what will be the result of all of this? Where is all of this leading? Is this something my flesh likes to hear? Is this something that is leading me into more sin? Or is it something that teaches me to be more patient no matter what situation I find myself in? Does it lead me to trust in God? Does what I'm hearing make me impatient when things don't go my way? Does it cause me to not follow after the Lord? Thinking through things like this can be helpful for spotting different kinds of problems. Though, of course, we do want to exercise caution and humility and not blame and not base everything on ourselves. And finally, Christians, we should be in prayer. Because after all, the discerning of spirits is a spiritual gift. We should call on the Spirit to lead us into all truth, so that we can see things for what they truly are. And in that way, we can avoid every poison which threatens us. When we do all of these things, Christians, we will avoid falsehood, no matter how sweet it may sound, and follow after the truth to the glory of God's holy name. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us into all truth and away from all error, so that we may truly lay hold of Jesus, who is the truth, and be saved. For you live and reign with the Father and the Son, one God, now and forever. Amen.